Blog Talk Radio.
To the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I'm here to welcome you to Daughters of Naomi for this Wednesday, February the 8th, 2023. Our program for tonight is entitled, She Knew Her Worth and She Changed the World. But before we begin, I would like to start with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before you tonight just thanking you, Lord God, to be able to have the opportunity to come out and share with the world, hallelujah, some information about some phenomenal black women Now, Lord God, I pray that others around the world will be encouraged, will be activated, hallelujah, will be enlightened. And I pray, Lord God, that only you will be given all the glory. And it is in Jesus' name I pray it all. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, my sisters and my brothers, on tonight I'm going to give some well-deserving black women in modern history their flowers while they yet live. And I want to further recognize what they contribute to our lives and our society with their existence right now. But as we do that, we are also going to remember and honor some other well-known phenomenal women and lesser-known phenomenal women who also opened doors that had been closed. We honor their impact and bravery to pave the way for other black women and women all over the world. We love them and we honor them because the women I'm going to talk about tonight made sure that being the first didn't mean that they would be the last. For you see, it's no secret that black women are trailblazers, role models, and heroes in their own right. Through tenacity, ingenuity, a whole lot of faith in God, and hard work, many of these famous women, black women that we look up to today, have had to break through glass ceilings to create their own paths in order to secure their role in history. It is because of these qualities and many of the inspiring stories that I'm going to share tonight about black women deserve to be celebrated, and not just during Black History Month, but each and every single day of the year, because these are women that should be looked up to by all women and girls around the world. Why? Because they are all great women of faith and courage. You see, these women knew their God-given worth, and they would not be denied. These women answered nothing less than a call from God to stand and do something that had never been seen before, and say something that had never been heard before, all in order to bring about a change, not only for themselves, but they wanted to change the world. And they started by being the change that they wanted to see. How did they do it? They could do it because they too had examples. Now, some of you are probably thinking, wait a minute now, Apostle. You just alluded to the fact that these women were the first. So who were their examples? I am so glad you asked. And the answer is they had the women in the Bible. And here's another thing that cannot be argued or denied. All of the women of the in the Bible are women of color. Now, the first woman I'm honoring tonight had the faith and courage to become known as the Moses of her people. Yes, I'm talking about none other than Harriet Tubman, who was a slave. She escaped. And then not only did she stay gone, she went back and helped others gain their freedom as a conductor on the Underground Railroad. Now, Harriet was also served as a scout, a spy, a guerrilla soldier, and a nurse for the Union Army during the Civil War. She is considered the first African-American woman to serve in the military. And also, it was said of Harriet Tubman, she was never caught and she never lost a passenger as the conductor of that Underground Railroad. And she participated in other anti-slavery efforts, including, hallelujah, she became a Confederate, she became a spy. Well, for all intents and purposes, because what she did was, through the Underground Railroad, she learned the town's routes and transportation routes, you know, and that information made her important to the Union military commanders during the Civil War. You see, as a Union spy, she often transformed herself into an aging old lady. And then she would just wander around the streets, you know, right under the noses of the Confederate soldiers. And she got all the information that she needed about where they were posted up. And then she would go on to help many of those soldiers themselves find food, shelter, and even jobs in the North. Hallelujah. As a nurse, she was charged with dispensing herbal remedies to black and white soldiers who were dying from infection and disease.
Mm-hmm.
What a life.
Yes.
But you know what? Sister Tubman's life inspired the life of Sojourner Truth. Also, a former slave.
Mm-hmm.
She became an outspoken evangelist and advocate for abolition, temperance, and civil and women's rights in the 19th century. Her Civil War work earned her an invitation to meet none other than President Abraham Lincoln in 1864.
Mm.
Hallelujah. As an itinerant preacher, she met abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison and Frederick Douglass. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1850, because she could not read nor write now, hear me now, and you know this from God, she never learned to read or write, but in 1850, she dictated what would become her autobiography, The Narrative of Sojourner Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And through this book, the publication of this book, she gained national recognition. She met women's rights activists such as Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony. Hallelujah. And in 1851, she began her own lecturing tour that included a women's rights conference in Akron, Ohio, where she delivered her famous Ain't I a Woman speech. And in it, she challenged prevailing notions of racial and gender inferiority and inequality by reminding her listeners of her combined strength. First of all, you need to understand that Sojourner Truth stood almost 6 foot tall.
Mm.
Now, she was a 6 foot tall black female.
Mm.
Okay. So those were her strengths. Now, let's fast forward. See, with the historic inauguration of the first black, South Asian, and female vice president of the United States, we had a milestone in American history that we, many of us, have said is long overdue. Now, throughout her career, Kamala Harris has broken barriers and opened doors for women and girls who look like her and who don't look like her. When she is being honored for all of her hard-won accomplishments, she always reminds us that she is honored to stand on the shoulders of the many black women who came before her, challenging that political glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during Black History Month, we honor and celebrate the vice president, not only because she's black, but because she has overcome incredible obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And she is also an accomplished American woman with leadership skills that clearly make her stand out as one of the greats in our country. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
We thank God for her. Also, there's women like Simone D. Sanders. She's a political strategist. Simone Sanders is the former chief spokeswoman for Vice President Kamala Harris. And in 2016, she was named National Press Secretary for the United States Senator Bernie Sanders during his presidential campaign. A few years later, Ms. Sanders would join Joe Biden's 2020 presidential campaign as his senior advisor. Once elected, the Biden-Harris administration named Ms. Sanders a senior member. Now she can be seen on MSNBC and all kind of political programs on television stations all over the world. Next, we have the very lovely Michelle Obama. Now, besides being the first African-American first lady in U.S. history, this woman is an attorney. She's a philanthropist. And during her time as first lady, she created the Let's Move program, which was developed to help end childhood obesity. In 2019, she became author of the bestseller Becoming, which was followed by the corresponding Netflix documentary in 2020. And currently her new book, The Light We Carry, is a top seller. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now check this out.
Hallelujah.
She is a Princeton and Harvard Law School graduate. And she continues to advocate for education for young girls and the overall health of all children. But let us not forget Condoleezza Rice. Politician Condoleezza Rice was the first woman and first black woman to become Secretary of State, a position she held from 2005 to 2009 during the Bush administration. She is currently a professor and a dean at Stanford University. So I just praise God that she is still doing what she loves to do. And glory to God. I praise God for these women that knew their worth, and they are continuing to change the world. But whenever, as I said earlier, whenever you see these ladies, you see any of them in an interview, they want to point out all those who came before them. So now I want to take a moment to reflect on some of those women on whose shoulders those phenomenal women stand. Women like Shirley Chisholm, who elevated the voice of black women in politics in the 1960s, overcoming many dangerous obstacles and just straight up blatant racism. Ms. Chisholm began her activism in 1960 by working in organizations that fought for voting rights, including the Voting League. She also promoted civic education, and of course she was a great champion of civil rights. She was the first black woman to serve in Congress and the first black person to run for president in a major party. I think seeing Kamala Harris elected vice president would have bought her a lot of joy. It would have bought her a lot of fulfillment, and it would have urged her to continue her fight. Also, there were mighty women like Barbara Jordan, the first black woman elected to the Texas legislature, represented the voters of Houston at the height of the civil rights movement. She was also the first black woman elected to Congress from the Deep South, period. She had the honor of delivering the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention in 1976, where she noted that her presence is one additional bit of evidence that the American dream need not forever be deferred. I also believe she, too, would be another one of those women that would have been truly blessed to see Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris take office. But the opportunity for these black women to serve as elected officials, I want you to remember, would not have been realized without the dangerous and determined work of civil rights leaders like Ms. Frannie Hamer. She fought to expand the vote to black people against all odds. In 1962, she organized volunteers to register black Americans to vote in Mississippi, but they were denied registration due to unfair literacy tests. Now, despite losing her job for attempting to vote, she took the literacy test two more times and then she passed it. However, after that, another barrier was put in place, the requirement for two poll tax receipts. You see, for every step forward, there was a system working to implement new suppression tactics to prevent black folks from exercising their constitutional rights. Even then, Fannie Lou Hamer wouldn't be silenced. Two years later, she co-founded the Mississippi Freedom Party and challenged the all-white Democratic delegation from Mississippi at the 1964 Democratic National Convention delivering testimony that brought to life the real struggle that black mm-hmm. people in the South experienced when trying to participate in the elections. Mm-hmm. You see, mm-hmm. Saints, all these women knew their worth because mm-hmm. they refused to be denied. And all of these mm-hmm. amazing women stood on the shoulders of women that were not only activists, they also mm-hmm. understood the importance of education. Women like mm-hmm. Nanny Helen Burroughs, she was an activist mm-hmm. and an educator. She was born mm-hmm. to former slaves in Virginia, but she was a leading educator, feminist, and suffragist in Washington, D.C. After mm-hmm. she was rebuffed for a teaching job in the school system, guess what she went out and did? She said, okay. She founded a school for girls and women, the National Training School for Women and Girls. And you know when she did it? In 1909. And she served mm-hmm. as the school's president until her death in 1961. There were also mm-hmm. women like Clarissa M. Thompson. Hallelujah. She was born to a middle-class family in South Carolina, but she grew up during the Reconstruction era of that state. But she became a school teacher for three mm-hmm. institutions. And then she moved mm-hmm. to Texas, where she taught in the taught in public schools in Jefferson and in Fort Worth. She too was a great supporter of women's suffrage and temperance. And she was also an author of a lot of short stories and novellas. Hallelujah. And up on mm-hmm. her shoulders, she stood up on the shoulders of Laura A. Moore Westbrook. She was an educator mm-hmm. in Texas. She was the daughter mm-hmm. of slaves, and she took on the cause of temperance. She joined the Women's Christian Temperance Union, the largest women organization in the country, and her life's work centered around reducing mm-hmm. crime and poverty by advocating for total abstinence from alcohol. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to Angela Davis. She's a professor, and she's an activist. She was a major activist in the late 1960s and early 70s because she was profoundly affected by her childhood in a segregated Birmingham, Alabama. Now, she really upset some people because she joined the Communist Party and became an affiliate of the Black Panthers as a young woman and ran for the vice presidential candidates to the Communists in 1980 and 84. She's been arrested. She was tried and acquitted for her roles in the Black Panther courtroom shootout. But then after all of that, talk about resilience. This woman went on, and she still has a distinguished academic career at institutions including Pomona College, Rutgers University, and Vassar. There's also women like Cori Bush. Congresswoman Cori Bush is a community activist. She's a registered nurse, and she's also an ordained pastor. Hallelujah. After she was elected to the House of Representatives in 2021, she became the first African-American woman to serve in the U.S. House from the state of Missouri. Yay. She routinely lends her voice and her platform to combat social injustice, and she is the co-founder of the Truth Telling Project. Hallelujah. Also, we have Tarana Burke. She was Times Magazine's 2017 Person of the Year. This young lady is an activist, and she is the founder of the Me Too movement. The New York Native group brings awareness and support to sexual violence survivors. Mm-hmm. In 2017, the group's hashtag MeToo started a revolution and brought women together in solidarity in the fight against sexual violence. Me Too helps bring resources to survivors as well as those around them. Now, my sisters and brothers, it has been said that necessity is the mother of all inventions. And as you well know, we as a people are very creative and very inventive folks indeed. Just ask women like Monique Rodriguez. She is the founder of a hair care brand, Meow Organics, which she started with her husband in 2014. She created her products to strengthen hair, enhance curl definition, and to cleanse and moisturize. In 2021, Monique became the first black woman to raise a non-controlling, nine-figure investment in a deal with Berkshire Partners. And earlier this year, her brand was acquired by Procter & Gamble in a historic partnership that will allow both Monique and her husband to stay on as the CEOs of their company. Mm-hmm. Then, everybody, who doesn't love walking around talking on their cell phone? Everywhere you look, people are on the cell phone. Well, you know what? What you need to be saying is, thank you, Dr. Shirley Jackson. You see, Shirley Ann Jackson is a noted physicist, and she is the former head of the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission. She was one of two of the first black women to receive a doctorate in physics in the United States, and she was the first to receive a doctorate from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Now, could any of us imagine not having her technology in our cell phone? Also, because of her early research, she also cleared the path for others to invent solar cells and these fiber optic cables that we use to run all of our cell phones through. Then we have Ruan Dieters. In April of 1987, she presented the world with the Tilster, a toaster with a digital clock that allows users to control how brown they want their bread. Wow, sister did that. Ask Marie Brown. You know why we can ask her? Because we can sleep soundly at night because of her invention back in 1969. For you see, she developed the first home security system with television surveillance. Thank you, Ms. Brown. We also have mighty women like Patricia Bass, M.D. She was the first African-American doctor to patent a medical invention in 1988. Hers was for a new method of removing cataracts that used a laser device to make the procedure more accurate. Or what about Alice Parker, who created an improved gas heating furnace for central heating in 1919? Or Theora Stevens, a hairdresser who created the pressing curling iron in 1983, or Marjorie Joyner. She was an employee of Madam C.J. Walker, and she created a permanent perming and waving machine for hair for Madam C.J.'s company. And, of course, you cannot talk about the employee without talking about the woman herself. Many of you may know Madam C.J. Walker in the early 1900s. She started her own cosmetic and hair care line because she herself suffered from a scalp ailment. She had a manufacturing company and owned salons and training school, all of which led her to becoming the first self-made female millionaire, bar none. Then we have Lydia Newman. She improved upon the hairbrush in November of 1898 by creating one that was durable, easier to clean, and added proper ventilation with recessed air pockets. Or what about Sarah Boone? Because on April 26th of 1892, She received her patent for the improvement upon the ironing board by making it easier to iron sleeves and the bodies of women's clothes.
Mm.
Or Sarah Good. She was a Chicago furniture store owner, and she was the first African-American woman to receive a U.S. patent, period. Hers was issued on July 14, 1885, and it was for a folding cabinet bed. We have also been, hallelujah, we love to write. We are awesome storytellers. We have sisters like Natasha Rothwell. As a writer, director, actress, and producer, she is known for her hilarious work on the HBO show Insecure. But her credits go beyond her character on that program. She showcases her talents as a writer for Saturday Night Live, and many of her characters star on the HBO original series White Lotus. Then we have sisters like Ava DuVernay. She's an Academy Award and Global Globe winner, and they're just some of her awards. She is the first black woman to be nominated for a Golden Globe Award for Best Director. She is also the first black woman of color to be Oscar nominated for Best Picture. And who could forget Miss Amanda Gorman? This young and established young lady, she took the world on, and she left it standing on its head with her outstanding poem that she recited at the presidential inauguration, making her the youngest poet in inaugural history. This Harvard graduate has graced multiple stages, reciting her award-winning pieces. She also has three books under her belt, including her latest release, The Hill We Climb. But these beautiful sisters stood up on the shoulders of women like Sonia Sanchez. Yes, Sonia Sanchez has inspired many generations of women and African Americans through poetry, teachings, plays, and activism. As a prominent member of the Black Arts Movement, she made a name for herself by centering Black pride in creative expression. In 1975, she joined the English faculty at Temple University, where she taught and mentored young people for nearly 25 years. Her work includes dozens of books, essays, short stories, and other materials. Amanda stands up on the shoulders of women like Dr. Maya Angelou. Dr. Angelou had a distinct voice as a black writer and activist. She left a legacy with her large body of works, including memoirs, poems, essays, and plays. She rose to fame in 1969 after the publication I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and is one of her autobiographies detailing her early years as a young black woman. Amanda stands up on the shoulders of women like Frances Harper, poet, author, activist. She lived from 1825 to 1911. She was a suffragist, an organizer for the National Women's Christian Temperance Union. She was an abolitionist. Hallelujah. She traveled across the United States and Canada, and she gave all kinds of speeches on anti-slavery, hallelujah, and women's rights and the prohibition. So she also, when she was 20, she published Iola Leroy, and it was one of the first novels written by a black woman. As I said, we are indeed a creative people. You only need to turn on your television. Oh, my goodness. This past Sunday, they just had the Grammy Awards on. And all we heard about was Beyonce, Noel Carter, and the Beehive. Well, okay, I give Ms. Carter her props. She's a singer, songwriter, and actress. And she is known for her show-stopping performances. She has earned 28 Grammys. She had 79 nominations, which makes her the most Grammy-winning and nominated female artist of all time. Another person they talked a lot about according to the news the next day, was multi-talented artist Melissa Jefferson, also known as Lizzo. Lizzo continues to use her platform to encourage curvy women. She advocates body positivity, and she encourages women to embrace their beauty regardless of societal standards. But before there was a Lizzo, before there was a Beyonce, before there was a Rihanna who's going to be performing at the Super Bowl, they had to stand up on the shoulders of an Aretha, a Nina, a Rosetta, an Ella, and a Billy. Yes, indeed. First of all, nobody, and I mean nobody, can dispute a Sister Aretha Franklin, known as the Queen of Soul. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know her work. We know her body of work. We know that, but what I'm going to tell you about all of these women in the moment, why I think, besides being talented, what made them phenomenal for me, I'll tell you in a minute. This next woman is very close to mine. Look, I was really impressed with her. And that's none other than Miss Nina Simone. I love that lady because, look, I was blessed to be able to sit beside her on the and turn her pages, the piano, of her music while she sang To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. And I will never forget that as long as I live, because she said something to me that I will never forget. When I said to her, when I first met her, I said, "Oh, Miss Simone, I've loved you all my life." She just looked at me and said, "You're going to be one that has a lot to say." But you know what? If I didn't know better, I think Miss Simone was prophesying over me right then. I'm not gonna say that. But she changed. You know, she was a woman to be reckoned with, just like Sister Rosetta Thorpe. She's touted as the godmother of rock and roll. Now, a lot of people haven't heard about her, but this lady had a flamboyant, a skill, and a showmanship on the electric guitar that, you know, cannot be denied. And she played a vital role in rock and roll since its inception. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Then, like I said, we had Miss Ella. Hallelujah. Very few people are known by one name. Miss Fitzgerald, known by one name, Ella. She was one of the greatest singers of the 20th century. And despite racial bias that kept her out of famous performing venues for much of her early career, she still was the first black woman to win a Grammy. And she went on to win 12 more and sold over 40 million albums. Miss Fitzgerald performed with the greatest performers of the 20th century, like Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, and Benny Goodman. And then there was Eleanor Fagan Gow, also known as Billie Holiday, was also nicknamed Lady Day by her friends. She was a highly original influence on jazz and pop music. Her vocal style was strongly inspired by jazz instrumentalists, and she pioneered a new way of manipulating phrasing and tempo. Above all, she was admired for her deeply personal and intimate approach to singing. She co-wrote only a few songs, but several of them have become jazz standards, notably God Bless the Child and Don't Explain, and Lady Sings the Blues. But what she most became famous for was her rendition of Strange Fruit, which was a song that graphically depicted lynching. Okay? So, but what I love about the Ella, the Billy, the Rosetta, the Aretha, and the Ninas were not only were these women talented, they were also activists. They used their platforms to make a change. They marched in the streets with Dr. King. They, you know, they demanded to be let in to certain places. And they had the wherewithal to have their white counterparts back them up. So, you know, I love these women, and I will always admire them, not only because of their incredible talent, but for their incredible activism at a time when they indeed were putting their lives on the line. We have also been very blessed in the arena of dance, hallelujah, by Miss Misty Copeland. She started her ballet career at 13, and then she joined the American Ballet Theater in 2000, hallelujah. After continuous work with the American Ballet, she became the company's second only African-American female soloist. In 2015, she became the first African-American woman to be promoted to the principal dancer in the company's almost century-long history. But see, she stood up on the shoulders of women like Debbie Allen, the owner of the Debbie Allen Dance Academy. She's an actress, choreographer, producer, and director. Debbie Allen is an icon in the entertainment industry. She is well known for her work on the television series Fame. She is also a Globe Award winner, Emmy, and NAACP Award winner. Hallelujah. So she is now a director on numerous shows, include that we watch every day, every week, like How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal in a Different World, and currently she is the director of none other than Grey's Anatomy. But Ms. Allen stood on the shoulders of women like Josephine Baker, who was born Freda Josephine McDonald, right in my home state. She was born in St. Louis, Missouri, to a washerwoman and a vaudeville performer. And having experienced the horrors of East St. Louis riots in 1917, she embraced her talents as a way out of the discrimination and out of poverty. She began her career by performing in vaudeville showcases around the country and was soon offered a chance to perform in Paris in La Revue Negre. Once the Revue closed, Baker was given her own show, and from there her career skyrocketed. She was the first African-American woman to star in a motion picture or to perform with an integrated cast at an American concert hall, and one of the first African-American entertainers who achieved acclaim both in the movies and on the stage. And during World War II, Ms. Baker performed to integrated audience of French and American troops. She also served as a member of the French Resistance, and she smuggled messages in her lyrics that were sent back to France from the opposing forces. Hallelujah. She returned to America after a long stint in France so that she could join the civil rights movement. And she was the only female speaker at the March on Washington in 1968, where she honored women and women civil rights activists. We made strides in the news. We have Elaine Welteroth. This Fashion Forward author, talk show host, and award-winning journalist got her start in the editorial industry. After years of hard work, she was named editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue in 2017, making her the youngest EIC in the publication's history of time. Arthur, and so she's doing all right for herself. And then we have Gail King. She's a familiar face on the Good Today Show, and her great, you know, she graces television screens all over the world. She's an author, she's a journalist, and she's an editor at large for the Oprah Daily. And if that wasn't enough, she has her own radio programs and her own podcast. And you can't mention the employee without mentioning her boss, Oprah Winfrey. She might be best known for her television talk show, but that is just one of many of her titles. Not only does she have her own network, her own magazine, and her own website, but the primetime and Emmy Award winner is constantly breaking boundaries and creating new platforms. Most recently, she set streaming records with her interviews with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle and then with Adele. But this is just the tip of the iceberg when looking at all she has accomplished. And as great as that is, even she stood up on the shoulders of women like Ida B. Wells, who is a prominent black investigative journalist, educator, and activist in the early civil rights movement. She was one of the founders of the NAACP and led a powerful anti-lynching crusade in the United States in 1890. Hallelujah. There has also been no shortage of representation of us in the sports world. Raven Saunders, in addition to being a two-time Olympian, a silver medalist, she is an advocate for racial justice and mental health. Or what about Naomi Osaka? After turning pro in 2013, she gained the limelight during her 2015 match against her idol and fellow tennis star, Serena Williams, during the U.S. Open, where the 20-year-old Osaka won her first major title. She's continuing her, and she is still on a winning streak. Hallelujah. But as I have said, you can't talk about her protege without talking about the lady she looked up to, tennis player Serena Williams, who many consider the greatest tennis player of all time, has won 23 Grand Slam singles, she holds the most titles of any active player, and she is a three-time Olympian, earning 4 Olympic gold medals. But see, there couldn't have been a Serena without an Althea Gibson. You see, she was the first black athlete to break the color line in international tennis, winning the French Open in 1956, followed by the Wimbledon and what would ultimately become the U.S. Open in 1957. This is a feat that she would repeat time and time again. So you see, hallelujah, we have, no matter what the field, no matter what the cause, we've been there. Hallelujah. And I praise God for all of the examples of these women. And there are so many more stories like theirs. But I'm going to stop there because I would like to now honor some women that are influential to me. And the first one being Dr. Susan Street Beavers. And let me tell you something about my sister, Dr. Susie. She is the founder of the Love Connection Ministries. This woman possesses five degrees. And she lived on Black Wall Street. So I'm very honored to know her and to be able to call her my sister in Christ and my friend. And so right now, I want to say I thank God for you, phenomenal woman. I praise God for the example that you continue to carry on, your excellence, your obedience to God, your excellence in all that you do, the phenomenal work that you do with our veterans is just amazing. So I just want to thank you for your many years in the chaplaincy as God's called and sent. So I would just like to say to you, thank you for being who you are and what you do, my dear sister, Dr. Susie. And I'm going to have her come into the room, and I would like for her to share just a little bit about what it was like to actually be a part of Black Wall Street. Dr. Susie? Amen. Dr. Susie, are you with us, hon? We can't hear you. All right. Bless her heart. She wasn't feeling well, so she might just have to step away for a minute. But while I wait to see if she returns, I have some other women in the house that I would like to give honor to, and that's the women of Good Shepherd. First of all, I like to praise God for Mother Mattie. Mother Mattie is a member of the Good Shepherd. This beautiful woman of God is a deaconess. She is a woman who loves to, that is not ashamed of the gospel. She is always working tirelessly in the church. She does not do it for form or fashion, but just since she has been visiting us here at the Spirit Alive Network, her love, her support, her jewels of wisdom have been immeasurable. So I would just like to say to you, Mother Mattie, thank you, ma'am, for who you are and what you do. God bless you, and we love you. Mother Mattie, would you like to come forth and have a word on tonight? What's going on? Mother Mattie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Mother Mattie, would you like to come forward and have a word?
Yes, ma'am. Here I come. I'm sorry, I had to step away for a sec.
That's quite all right.
Okay.
It's all right, Mother.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, I'm here.
All right. Mother Mattie, I don't know, you had to step away, but I just was telling our listeners that, you know, you are a member of the Good Shepherd in Oakland, California, that you are a deaconess, that you have worked tirelessly in the church, and just since you've been here at Spirit Alive, you have truly blessed our listeners. You have blessed me with your love and support. So once again, I say thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
To you, and thank you for allowing God to use you. So if you would like to have a word right now, ma'am, you are more than welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I apologize. I had to step away just for a second. It was an emergency,
all right.
But everything is like, it's okay. And I just want to give honor to the Almighty, powerful Father God, and the Almighty, powerful King Jesus, who is the head of my life. I thank them for all their blessings. I thank you, Bishop Cook, for honoring me tonight and all the women that mean so much to you dearly that were trailblazers. I thank you for taking the time to think about me in this way. I tell you, it is truly an honor. I don't know what to say, but God bless you. I love you and love Spirit Alive family. I just thank you. I really do. This means so so much. I never thought I was thought of that highly, I can say, but I thank you and God bless
you.
Oh,
yes. Well, see, I have to look. I gotta treat you like I have to treat you and love on you as though you're as special as God says that you are.
Yes, ma'am.
So not only do I think highly of you, I love you very, very much.
I love
thank
you too.
Amen.
Yes,
so now we're gonna check back in with Dr. Susie. Dr. Susie, are you with us, precious? No, okay. She's still out. Okay, that's fine. Well, we're sorry we couldn't hear about Black Wall Street, but perhaps we will get her to come on and tell us about it again. All right, some other women that I'd like to just give honor to tonight. It's Pastor Vanessa Carver. Pastor Vanessa Carver is a host here at Spirit Alive, program Wounded No More, but she is also a counselor. She is a champion for issues concerning mental health. She's also she's an author. She has written 3 books. She is just very, what I love about my sister, she is so thorough. When she brings the word of God, and she just brings it to you precept upon precept. And although she's not present tonight, I want her to know that she is being honored, that she is loved. So Pastor Vanessa, sweetheart, thank you for who you are and what you do, and may God continue to bless you. Apostle Zeta Flowers. What can I say about my Apostle Zeta Flowers? Her and I have been friends for about 20 years. She's a mighty woman of God. She feeds the homeless. She's a foster mom. I mean, what doesn't this woman do? She's out there also. She also is about civil rights and equality, and she's always championing programs that, you know, where little children of color can be equally represented. She is she loves God. She loves serving God. She's a missionary. She has traveled all over the world, to Zimbabwe, to Haiti, to many, many places. And so to Apostle Zeta, for your wonderful work, I want to say to you, God bless you. I love you. Mm-hmm. And you just inspire me so much, woman of God. The next person I am going to honor, I'd like to honor, is Evangelist Michelle Scott. Now, Evangelist Michelle Scott and I have been friends for many years. She is my little sister. And what I love about her is her love. She is one of the most loving people that I have ever met in my life. She is always quick to help others, even when she herself needs help. But she loves the Lord. She's a phenomenal mom. She is always there supporting her husband, praying for her husband. She is always there whenever her children need something. She is there. You don't have to phone it in. She's right there. I just enjoy our friendship and our sistership, dear sister. And so I just want to say thank you. I love you, and I just pray that you continue to just let God use you, because you're going nowhere. The only place you're going, dear sister, is up. God is going to bless you for all that obedience. He really is.
Yes.
The next person that I'm going to honor tonight is Apostle J. Leon Travis. Apostle J. Leon is the founder of GAP Ministries. And this young woman is from Memphis, Tennessee. I've been walking with her now for about 12, 13 years. Just a beautiful woman of God. Just works hard. She is in the hospitality business. So even when she's at work, she's kind of doing her ministry. Well, she's a lot doing her ministry because, you know, a lot of people come into these places. They have issues. They're upset. They are always, you know, they're going through stuff. But what I love about Apostle J is that she doesn't let things throw her. She doesn't. She just stands on what she knows. And what she knows is the Word of God. She is always asking God what she needs to do to be better, what she needs to do to be to reach more people. So for that, I truly love you, Apostle J, and I just want to say God bless you. I adore you. And I'm so glad that we are sisters and that God put you on my path. Now, before I pay honor to this last woman, I just want to let you know that Nina Simone, Dr. Maya Angelou, and my final honoree for the night have had the most impact on me, bar none. I told you about Nina Simone. Well, I'm going to tell you the reason I got to, now I'm going to tell you why I love Nina Simone. The reason Nina Simone called me over to sit by her on the piano is because a couple of days before that, I had seen Dr. Maya Angelou on Mike Douglas. And the woman said something that I will never forget because, you know, she had that wonderful voice. But, you know, Mike Douglas asked her, what makes you think, why do you think, you know, you're having such success? And she told him this one thing. When you open your mouth, have something to say. And when she said that, something inside of me opened up. And I went upstairs to my room because, see, one of the person, of course, that influences me the most is my mother. And I went upstairs, and my mother and my dad, they had us on the front lines of civil rights, okay? They showed us up close and impersonal what the state of our country was in. So now note, I hear Dr. Angelou. She says, when you say something, have something to say. Now I heard this at 9, y'all, 9. So at the time, my mother was taking us to a church in Cairo, Illinois, where we would have our civil rights meetings. So I go upstairs and I write this at 9. Dear Mr. Black Man, where shall you stand? Fighting for rights against the white man. But who won? Oh, it was you. Winning the fight like we all should do. United we stand and divided we fall. Together we stand. Or no freedom at all. Reverend Charles Cohen, who was the pastor of the church, Leon and Jay are just a few of the men who are fighting to gain freedom and liberation. They are fighting for me to have peace and justice just like it should be. And they had me get up and read that. So do you know how blessed I felt when Miss Nina Simone asked me to come sit by her? And how blessed I feel that I have a mother who wanted to make sure that I understood that no matter what my eyes saw, yes, we saw the police officers up on top of buildings with their guns trained down on us. Yes, we saw all of this. My mother was one that went to Washington, D.C. She marched in marches. But at the same time, I never saw my mother be mean to other people just because of the color of their skin. I saw my mom and my dad when men and women were falsely accused on trumped up charges. I watched my mom go to grocery stores and get food and take it to the families, that man's family. I saw my dad, a man needed a suit, he'd make sure my mom would go get, because they would go get one.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in a household where it was diverse. And I praise God for that, because I was taught that I could do anything, be anything, go anywhere. And I believed it because my mother told me that with such conviction that I had no choice. And then to see my mother stand on her when slumlords had rats the size of cats, my mama would get in the street, pick a sign. Oh, no, this is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, we're not doing this. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, after they lock her up, then they got me marching down the street with my little sign, talking about free my mama, free my mama, free my mama, which they did. But anyway, I was taught about Christ. We had Bible study in our home. We went to church. My mother made sure that I had all the tools that I needed to become a productive member of society.
Mm-hmm.
As a young child, instead of just wandering about aimlessly like so many of the other kids did, my mother had her children in theater and we were in modern dance and ballet and orchestra, and we had swim class. Look, my mama was like, you guys are going to be too tired to get into any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I praise God for that, because as I look back over my life, I can see where God used my mom to prepare me to become who I am today, because my mother wanted me to be more than just the color of my skin. She put me in theater classes, and now today I write my own Christian plays. Because my mother made sure that whatever we like to do, she supported that. I love music. Her daughter wanted to play the violin. Okay. There was, in my home, there was never any of this, well, little black kids don't do that. Little black kids don't do that. Little black kids don't do that. Well, this one does.
Mm-hmm.
I got more resistance from my own people than I ever did from any other race of people, because she wasn't supposed to be able to do that. Oh, no. Oh, no. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you see? But see, even then, with all this racial tension going on in the world, my mother had the courage to still have faith, to still demand that her children be the best children that they could be. So I praise God that I had a mother that introduced me to the Ninas, the Arethas, the Billies, that introduced me to the Nikki Giovannis and the Maya Angelous, that made sure I knew who Ella Fitzgerald was, or who Martin Luther King was, or who Marcus Garvey was, or who James Baldwin was. My mother made sure that I knew that even though Black history was not taught in school, oh, we have one. And that is the most important thing I believe any Black woman can do for her children is to make sure they know these people that I honor tonight. Make sure that they realize that we come from good stock. We come from a people that is a people of faith. We are a people, if we don't have anything else, we had Jesus. Amen. And because of that, these women dared to dream the impossible dream. These women dared to go out and do something that had never been done, or to say something that had never been said in a way that it had never, you know, they had the courage. You know, just think about Dr. Jack, physicist. Ain't no Black women physicists. Oh, well, there is now. Think, you know, I think about all these women whose shoulders we stand upon. And I can only imagine, like I said, the tenacity it really took. Because can you imagine how many times they were told no? How they had to fight to keep their patents their own? How they had to fight to be authentic and not be made to be whitewashed? You know, so I'm going, and because of all of those women, those that are that I mentioned from today and those from yesteryears, because I have seen them all, I know of them all, I can be a better me. And I can encourage other young women of all nationalities to also be a better them. So I'm going, I know my mother, she has been under the weather, but I, you know, I do not want to not give her an opportunity to have a short word so that, you know, because she is in the house. So I just want to say to you, Mom, I love you. I thank God that you were the type of mother that you were, because it truly made me the person that I am today. Thank you for being a woman of faith, for being a woman of great courage and tenacity, and for showing me up close and personal what a gifted, beautiful, blessed, educated Black woman looks like. So God bless you, Mama. I love you, and I thank you. Mother Mitchell, come on in the room.
Yeah. Oh, I love you so, baby. I wasn't expecting this. I'm in such great company. I'm almost speechless, and you know that doesn't happen to me. The mouth always has something to say, especially when it's to thank God for having wonderful children. I have three wonderful children. And, you know, when you can get boys to go along with anything that their female siblings want to do, you've done something right along the way. So they were right there in theater in the plays. I was in Pearly Victorious with some of the, at the college right here where I'm living today, up on the hill. And we had wonderful time. And nobody was mad but the devil. And when they closed this down, there still was nobody mad, accomplished what we wanted. So when you walk in God's grace and in his mercy, it gives you hope, it gives you courage, and it gives you the tenacity to do what he tells you to do. You don't question, you don't do anything, but just say, yes, Father, and you trying to do that today. And I love you, my daughter, more and more every day. And I love you to the moon and back and around Jupiter and Mars and all of them galaxies.
I believe you, Mama.
Go around and just keep going. I love you and thank you.
I love you
so
back.
Much.
You, oh, Mama, you know I couldn't honor women and not honor my own mom. I mean, because,
oh,
and let's just face it, you know.
Are women of substance, I call them. My
and Mama, you,
was,
but see, what you don't understand, Mom, is that you gave me the only substance that matters, and that's my faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was what was so important to me. And that's what my mother and father gave to me. They wasn't important in the sense that the world thinks they're important. But when I see them in glory, I will really have come to understand how important they were to my life because they helped me to not be afraid. And the one thing I will say to you, my daughter, that we both live by was when I told you early on, my grandmother told me, Shirley Ann, watch say that comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what you wear that is always appropriate. And if God called you home, you wouldn't be ashamed to knock on Gabriel's door in it. And she said, you do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
Never mind
Amen.
All the rest of it, because that's going to blow away, and it's going to go into chat. It's going to go back in the wind where it came. And she
mm-hmm.
said, but when you hear, there will be mm-hmm. some little girl, every time you step out this door, that watches what you look like, what you're saying, and what you're doing. And make sure
mm-hmm.
it comes up to par for what you want for them as well as when you
Amen.
Have children, what you mm-hmm. want for them. Thank you, Bishop.
Amen.
I love
you.
You
welcome.
You
no
Thank
worries,
you.
Mommy. And I want you to know that all of that little speech right there is stuck. Because when people started, when I was grown and then when I started my job, people would go, it's dress down day and you're still dressed up. I said, I had to pass a whole bunch of little black children before I get to this job.
Yeah.
I told them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not dressing for you. I'm dressing for all them little black and brown children in the hood that need to see people going to work.
I have no example to show them.
Exactly. I'm trying to be that. So I want to thank you for that because that most definitely stuck. Amen.
Yeah.
And so many other things because, like I said, you know, it's wonderful when we can come together as women to celebrate other women. I love lifting up my mom, Mother Matisse, the Dr. Susie's, all of these women because they all make me a better human being. You know, and there's we have to come out of this place. You know, only a woman that does not know her worth doesn't give any worth to anybody else. But when you know your worth, you will see to it that somebody else knows theirs. So
yeah.
I just want to praise God. Again, I'm so sorry that we didn't hear from Dr. Susie, but we will have her to come on another time. When she's
yeah.
feeling better and she can, because I don't just have Black History Month during February. I am black. I am Black History in the making. So I have black. We celebrate Black History all day, every day around here. So we will have her to come back and tell us some from, you know, how it was, what it was like to actually be. To actually live on Black Wall Street, because I just think it's fascinating that
yeah.
we, you know, we actually had our own, you know, our own stores, our own everything, and then to have it come in and totally destroy. They told us that we couldn't, and when we did, they came in and destroyed it. Folks came in and destroyed it, but we're still here. So I just praise God. Father God, I just want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the lives of these women that have been honored on tonight. I just pray, Lord God, that They will inspire other young women of all races mm-hmm. around the world to be the best mm-hmm. they can be, to be women of faith, to know their worth, to not be denied, mm-hmm. women that will dream big, that will look beyond their own tent to try to mm-hmm. make the world a better place for everyone. Yeah. Lord, I just mm-hmm. pray in the name of Jesus that mm-hmm. women of all colors, shapes, mm-hmm. hues can mm-hmm. just come together as women, as sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Love
so that we can further mm-hmm. all of our causes.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we're just so grateful that you made
mm-hmm.
us and you made us women. We praise you,
mm-hmm.
we honor you, and we glorify you. In
mm-hmm.
Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
You have been, hallelujah, you have been listening to the Daughters of Naomi, hallelujah, and we just pray that you really learn, you know, we want you to go out, not just during Black History Month, but just go out
mm-hmm.
sometime and check out some of these other people, because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these people, some of these people we know,
mm-hmm.
but many of them
mm-hmm.
we don't. Because we're so busy, you know, we think because, you know, we have interracial marriages and we can have little jobs and we can sit and do, you know, we can basically go where our money will allow us to go and
mm-hmm.
do what our money will allow us to do. You know, we think, you know, we're in a good spot. No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are going to be generation after generation of young children, Black and brown children, coming into this world that need to know about a Harriet Tubman, that need to know
yeah.
about a Ella Fitzgerald,
yeah.
that needs to know
mm-hmm.
about a Condoleezza Rice, that needs to know
mm-hmm.
about a Sojourner Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what
mm-hmm.
we have to do is I say to all African Americans, do not wait for the schools to put Black history into the school.
Mm-hmm.
You're Black, you're a parent. You
mm-hmm.
put the Black history into your
Thank
children.
You.
It's
yeah.
our
mm-hmm.
job to teach our pathology, our heritage, if
mm-hmm.
nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So stop waiting on
mm-hmm.
somebody else to tell your story. Learn
mm-hmm.
your story so you can tell it
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This has been
Bishop Cook. Bishop Cook.
Ma'am? Yes.
Yes, ma'am. And keep Mrs. Givens in prayer. I have to say she is the mother of church, a good shepherd. I tell you, that lady is a pillar of strength for me. And I tell you, I honor her. Yes, ma'am.
We're honoring her too. Yes, let us not.
Yes,
we'd be
yes.
remiss in not honoring Mother Givens because she's another one of our beautiful mothers from the Good Shepherd. We love
yes.
her.
Yes.
Mother Givens, we know. I just want to thank you for your beautiful, sweet spirit. And Father
yes.
God, in
yes.
the name of Jesus, we come as a sisterhood, lifting up Mother
yes.
Givens right now to your throne of grace. Lord God,
yeah.
we know that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the
yeah.
healer. You are
yeah.
the physician that
yeah.
has never lost a patient. So, Lord God,
yes.
we just
yes.
pray right now that you go and minister to our dear mother. We pray that you
yes.
would comfort her,
yes,
that
Lord.
You would let her know
yeah.
that everything is going to be all right. Lord God,
yes.
we... Hallelujah. We pray down healing right now in the name of Jesus. We speak life
yes,
over Lord. Mother Givens. Lord God, we know
yes,
that you can do all things but fail. So we come
yes,
asking, I as your humble servant and sisters, we come asking, Lord, that you just
yes,
bless
Lord.
Her as only you can. And
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
once she leaves, once she gets stronger, Lord, we pray that you will send help, not just to her, but to Mother Mitchell and to Mother Mattie. Whatever these beautiful mothers need, Lord, I pray that they will receive it because you said in your holy word,
yes,
give
Lord.
Double honor to
yes,
to the elders,
yes,
especially
Amen.
Those that walk after the doctrine.
Thank
so,
you,
Lord, I pray that you just bless them, pressed down, shaken together until running over. And, Lord,
thank
we
you,
thank you for all these beautiful women's examples. We thank you, Father God. We thank you and we love you, King Jesus. Amen and amen. We just pray it all in your name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Once again, this is Apostle Shalene Cook, and you have been listening to the two daughters of Naomi. Hallelujah. And I just pray that you all were enlightened, that you learned about some new information, and you were reminded of some old information. But not, don't just talk about your history. Be your history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. And from all of us here at Daughters of Naomi and the Spirit Alive Network, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you. Thank you so much, beautiful mothers. Thank you. Good
you
night. I love you.
Love you all.
Love you, Dot.
Yes, ma'am. Love you all. God bless you all.
God bless you.
The wonderful, wonderful program. Thank you.